The Sportscast, June 25th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're watching on, no, sorry, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and you can then download our app, The Sportscast. Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks have shocked the NBA world when they beat the Bucks 116-113 the other night on Game 1, you know, quite surprising, in Milwaukee. And today we have a special guest, an Atlanta Hawks fan, AC, who runs Hawks Fan TV on YouTube and also on Twitter. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santiago. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
AC, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with the Hawks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a diehard Hawks fan practically my whole life, born and raised here. Didn't start really becoming a fan of the game until I was right around in middle school. So kind of the early, mid-2000s when I was really starting to appreciate the game. My favorite player back then was Jason Terry. And then shortly after that, it became Joe Johnson and that era of Hawks basketball. And yeah, ever since then, just become a diehard fan. And it's really great finally seeing this team getting the respect and the recognition that it deserves. You know, we've been lacking these past few years, going through a rebuild, and people saying that we are rushing the rebuild, this and that nonsense. But it's about time that the world sees the superstar that is Trae Young.
That was like the main topic of this show, is Trae Young. You know, this guy has been surprising everyone. Yes, the first round, they beat the Knicks. You can say that was pretty much a doable situation then. But then things got serious when they beat the Sixers. AC, did you see this coming?
You know what? It's crazy because I actually posted this on the Hawks Fan TV Twitter last week. I made a Reddit post 220 days ago now, approximately, and I literally predicted this exact thing. I said I was one off by saying that the Hawks would be a top four seed, which we should have been, but you know, the Knicks had the tiebreaker, so we ended up as the fifth seed. I predicted that we would make the Eastern Conference Finals, and I listed three main reasons, basically. The first one being Trae Young, the supporting cast, the depth that we had. So, you know, it's crazy to say, but yeah, I've been on record posting that we would make it this far. I will say this, though. Game 7 in Philadelphia, I had my doubts. I was nervous. I was still confident, but, you know, if I had to have bet that game, you know, I probably would have taken the Sixers in 7, you know, on the road, being such a young team. But, you know, Game 7 taught me I'm never doubting Trae Young and the Hawks ever again.
Now, would you say, would this be an argument that if Embiid was fully healthy, things would be different now?
No, absolutely not. We still had the best player on the court at all times. You know, the Sixers fans, they want to say that, oh, Joel was injured. He was playing on half a knee. That's nonsense. He was good enough and healthy enough to drop, you know, 40 points a couple of games. I think Joel is full of theatrics and he's soft, and he probably was probably wincing and grimacing a little more than he had to just to put on a show. But no, we had the best player on the court at all times, regardless of Joel's health. I think Trae proved that. And we also had the best just overall talent. You know, Ben Simmons is, as we saw, got exposed, and he's nothing more than a role player. Tobias Harris, moment too big for him. We had John Collins, my boy Red Velvet, showing up. So not only did we have the best player in the series, but we had just the overall better talent, in my opinion.
Which, you guys are causing Simmons to get traded out of Philadelphia. How you feel about that?
It's great. It's great. You know, I made an episode on our YouTube channel before, you know, right after the series. And, you know, I've been on record multiple times in years past just basically – you know, clowning Ben Simmons. And there was even a Twitter argument a couple months ago saying, you know, who would you rather start a franchise with, Ben Simmons or Trae? And hopefully no one even puts them two in the same sentence, the same stratosphere universe ever again. You know, Trae Young is obviously a number one option. Ben Simmons is, you know, maybe your fourth or fifth best player on a championship championship team at best. But yeah, it's a great thing. I'm sure Sixers fans are going to be thanking us for finally opening up their eyes and realizing that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid just do not play well together. And not only did we get Ben Simmons traded, but yeah, we also exposed Julius Randle in the first round. So, you know, these Hawks, we're just exposing everyone this postseason, and it's been great so far.
Really surprisingly, okay, Trae Young, drafted back in 2018 from Oklahoma. What were your expectations back then when you guys drafted him? Did you see, okay, this guy could definitely be the next Steph Curry for the Hawks? Like, what were your thoughts back then?
Yeah, coming into draft night, I had some mixed emotions. Once it was all said and done, we drafted him. I was all on board. You know, he didn't lead the nation in college basketball in points and assists, you know, by accident, right? He was the first college player in D1 history to lead the league in both points and assists. So obviously the potential was there, the skill was there. It was just a matter of how much of his game could he translate that into NBA speed. And obviously a lot of people would have said, you know, making that trade for Luka or against Luka was arguably the worst trade of all time. But people are now seeing that, you know, not only is it a fair trade, but some people are even starting to say that the Hawks won the trade. Personally, I'm taking Trae Young over Luka just because I think he affects the game more. But to answer your question, Santiago, yeah, I mean, I was a believer in him since day one. If you look back at my old tweets from 2018, I was a big Trae Young fan. I knew he was never going to be the Steph Curry because that's just not his game. He can obviously shoot from 30, 35 feet out, but if you really watched his game, you knew he was a playmaker through and through ever since high school. So, you know, I like to say he's a mixture of Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, you know, with Steve Nash and, you know, Isaiah Thomas. That's really what he is. But ultimately, he's just Trae Young. He's not any of those guys. He's Trae Young, and, you know, he's damn good.
Yeah, when I was asking that question to another sportscast contributor, he was kind of silent for like 5 seconds. He couldn't really put. I mean, because my question is, who would you compare him to, like a current player or someone historically? And he was like saying, you know, Lillard, Curry, but it felt like he was individual. He was his own style. I mean, which is something very good.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at, you know, his whole entire game, he has. From an offensive standpoint, he is the complete package, right? He's got the shooting range, the shooting ability like a Steph Curry, like a Damian Lillard. He has that in-between, you know, floater mid-range game like a Tony Parker-esque floater. You know, he's got the mid-range game. He can facilitate and pass. I've said it before. I think, you know, in this league, there's probably only one other passer that's even comparable to Trae, and that's, you know, Jokic. But aside from him, I still think Trae Young is the best passer just from a pure vision and, you know, passing ability standpoint. So it's crazy when you factor in his passing ability, his playmaking along with his scoring and, you know, Rashad Phillips, who's a big Hawks fan and writer, he labels him as a four level scorer, right? So not only is there's the paint, the mid range, the 3-point line, but then there's that extra layer, you know, that 35 and feet beyond, and only a few players can shoot from there, and that is Trae Young, Damian Lillard, and Steph Curry. So, you know, what we're witnessing is something truly unique, because Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, they're great in their own rights, but they don't have the playmaking and the passing ability like Trae. And then if you do have that good of a passer like Steve Nash or other great point guards in the past, you don't have the scoring. So this is the first time where we've seen a truly generational player that's elite at both passing and scoring and shooting and, you know, everything you want in a point guard.
This could be the most important player the Hawks has ever had since Dikembe Mutombo or Joe Johnson, but that's debatable, isn't it?
it is up for debate, obviously. You know, Trae Young's only in his third year. I mean, the kid is only 22, and he's already making, you know, a name for himself, not only in Atlanta sports history, but just, yeah, in the league already. It's funny because I made a post a couple months ago saying, you know, if Trae Young does this, is he already one of the greatest Hawks of all time? And then, you know, some people said it was, you know, blasphemous and disrespectful, you know, comparing him to Dominique and, like you said, Dikembe. And I'm a big Joe Johnson fan. He was literally like my favorite player when he played for us. But he didn't have that swag. He didn't have that killer instinct And, you know, he had all the great skills and physical tool set, but he just didn't have the swagger on the court. And then when you look at someone like Trey, he's just the biggest superstar that the Hawks have had since Dominique Wilkins. And I think when it's all said and done, you know, no disrespect, Neek, if you're listening, but, you know, he's going to ultimately become, you know, probably the most iconic Hawks player of all time.
Definitely. And let's go see what happened this past Wednesday night. I didn't see this coming. I don't think AC saw it, but of course we'll ask him. Atlanta defeated Milwaukee in Milwaukee, 116-113. The Hawks were down by 20-something points. Trae Young scored 48 points, something that I've never – I mean, yeah, it's a lot of points, but it is something that I've never seen a huge comeback. Winning game one. AC, what was your thoughts and observations over that game?
Yeah, you know, game one was a wild roller coaster. You might be getting some games mixed up because in game one on Wednesday night, it was relatively a close battle. I think the biggest lead discrepancy was maybe 6 or 7 points from either team. So throughout the entire game, it was pretty close, neck and neck. I said this on the game one preview on my channel a few hours before the game started, and I said the key to game one and the series is going to be, you know, keeping it a close race. If the Hawks can just keep it within arm's distance going into the fourth quarter, I really like our chances. And, you know, here's why. Two words, Trae Young, Santiago. Like, he's the best closer. He's the best player left in the playoffs remaining, right? You know, some might say, you know, Devin Booker or Paul George, whatever, Giannis. I think Trae Young is the best player remaining, especially now that Kawhi Leonard's hurt. So when you have a player like Trae, who's got that killer instinct, that killer mindset, with a coach that believes in this team, I think they're mentally tougher than the Bucks. I'm very well familiar with Coach Bud of the Bucks because he was our former coach for a few years. So I know that he's notorious for not making in-game adjustments that he needs to. And it came to bit them in the butt, you know, game one. So hopefully that pattern and, you know, characteristic continues for the rest of the series, and he continues to play Brook Lopez as the five, and, you know, Trae Young's just going to continue to eat. But but yeah, I knew if it was a close game going to the fourth, we had a really good shot, and you know, we proved it once again. We did the same thing in game seven against the Sixers, kept it close all game, and then once again it comes down to the fourth quarter, you have the best closer in the game, and it's you know, it's wraps.
Foreshadowing what's going to happen this series, AC, I would like to know what you predicted before game one, and what do you think right now? What are the Hawks' chances?
Before the series, I said Hawks in seven. And after game one, it might be a little, you know, I might be a prisoner of the moment here, but I'm going Hawks in five now.
Wow. Why do you say that?
Yeah. I just think that from an offensive standpoint, they just have no answers to stop Trae Young. I think we have the better coach in Nate McMillan versus Coach Bud. And overall talent, I think the Hawks have the better overall talent. We have more depth. You know, we got Danilo Gallinari, Lou Williams coming off the bench. And aside from Giannis and, you know, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, I'm sorry, he had an outer body experience game one, right? He's never, ever going to score 33 points in a playoff game, let alone the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm not worried about Drew on the offense. They're really relying on two key main players. And especially if one of those players can only finish at the rim and he has no perimeter shot, much like Ben Simmons, then you really only have to focus and key on Chris Middleton, and Chris Middleton is just not that guy. So with all that being said, I think the Hawks have too many weapons. They're just mentally tougher, and right now, like, there's something in the water in Atlanta, and Coach Millen has gotten into the souls of all these Hawks players, and they're operating and processing things at a completely different level, and they're dangerous. They're Hawks in five.
Let's look at the other players in the roster. Of course, you know, Trae Young is still in the show, but let's look at, you know, John Collins and Kevin Huerter and Capella. Tell us about these other players in this team and the impact they're helping for the Hawks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it brings a tear to my eye, Santiago, because it's about time that these other co-stars start to get recognition by the national media. You know, before the playoffs even started, if you asked anyone outside of Atlanta, you know, name two or three other players than Trae Young on the Hawks, you know, they probably couldn't name them. Now, you know, I'm pretty sure that they can name a few. You know, let's start with John Collins. John Collins, been with this team. This is going into his fourth year now. He's been here since day one of the rebuild. He was actually the first player that our GM, new GM, drafted in that kind of new era, Travis Schlenk. Stretch four, a lot of people consider him just as a, you know, athletic big that can just go up and get dunks and get, you know, alley-oops, which is very evident in the games that you've seen this playoffs. But as you can see, he's got a three-point game. He's got a nice, clean, smooth-looking mid-range jumper, and he's a solid player. You know, obviously he's going in the end of his rookie deal this year. He denied that $90 million contract going into this offseason, and he bet it on himself. And I can, you know, I'm confidently saying that he's probably going to get the max deal that he's going to ask for, and he deserved it. Clint Capella, obviously, he's been great with the Rockets in those James Harden era teams. When we traded for him last year, I was a big fan. I thought this is one of the best moves the Hawks have made in probably the last 5-6 years. Very underappreciated because James Harden stole the show over there on that Rockets team. But I mean, this is your classic big: go up, get your rebounds, defend the paint. And he's literally the perfect center to match and mesh with this current Hawks team because we're all predicated on three-point shooting. You need that one defensive anchor. I think he got snubbed for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he could have been at least, you know, runner-up or a top-three Defensive Player of the Year and make at least an All-NBA defensive team, which he didn't. But that's okay because the Hawks don't get no respect, right? We're like Rodney Dangerfield. We get no respect. But that's soon going to change. And, yeah, Clint's been great. He obviously had a bad series last game against, you know, Joel Embiid and the Sixers. You know, when you go up against the best center in the league, you know, you're going to be quite limited. But I like our chances against Brook Lopez or whoever it is. Obviously, it looks like he was actually guarding Giannis in game one, so we'll probably see that for the remainder of the series. And I like that matchup a lot. And then my boy Red Velvet, Kevin Huerter, we like to call him K-Von here in Atlanta, you know, K-apostrophe-V-O-N. That's his name when he's balling out like that. And, you know, he's had games, you know, he's had lots of games where he scored, you know, 25, 30 points throughout his career. It's just the confidence with Kevin Huerter. He's got all the tools. He's a 6'7" wing, kind of plays that 2-3 position, can stroke it outside from the three. But the underrated part of his game is that mid-range, putting the ball on the floor, playmaking for his team, and that was evident in Game 7 of the Sixers. You know, 27 points in that Game 7, you know, put on an absolute legendary performance, just bullying Seth Curry all in that paint and mid-range area. So we got some players, and we're not even fully healthy yet. That's the crazy part. If DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish and Bogdanovic were 100%, you know, they would be my pick for the favorite to win the NBA title. But unfortunately, we're down some wings and we're making it do what we got with us right now.
Now, obviously, you're saying things are looking good with this Bucks series. As of right now, to play game 2 tonight, who do you want to play against in the West, Suns or the Clippers?
You know, if Kawhi hurt, I would much rather face the Clippers without Kawhi. Now, if Kawhi does somehow get healthy and he plays in the finals, then I would rather pick the Suns because, in my opinion, Kawhi Leonard is the only player that's better than Trae Young remaining in the playoffs. So, yeah, the Clippers are a good team, but they're just down their best player, which is unfortunate. So, yeah, I'd rather play a Kawhi-less Clippers, but if not, then I'll take the Suns. I'm confident in either team, if we play either team, honestly.
What do you think is going to happen between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers? Series is 2-1 with Phoenix, but what do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I still think the Suns are going to win. I think the Suns are going to pull out that series, especially if Kawhi doesn't come back anytime soon. They're deep, man. The Suns are deep, you know, 1-8. They have some ball players over there, led by obviously Chris Paul and Devin Booker. So you have that backcourt, which is deadly. And I think it's just too much talent compared to the Clippers if they don't have Kawhi. So my guess is Suns in 6. I think Clippers can win one more. But yeah, ultimately, I think it's Suns in 6 if Kawhi doesn't come back.
I would have to say, AC, that, you know, whatever happens in this playoffs, I think the two players that stand out the most is Booker and Young. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because they've kind of followed the same narrative throughout their careers, right? You know, they were both on pretty bad teams early on in their careers, and they both had that label of, you know, empty stats player. They just put up big stats on their teams, but they lose, so it doesn't really matter. And now here you have both players in their first year ever in the playoffs, and, you know, they're just balling out, doing exactly what they were doing in the regular season. So it's a beautiful sight to see. You know, I'm actually a Devin Booker fan. If I'm not rooting for my Hawks, I like players like Devin Booker and players like that. So it's great to see that they're finally getting the recognition that they deserve. But that was maybe a little bit more expected from Devin, just because he's a little bit older than Trey. He's bigger. But what Trey is doing, I mean, I think people were calling him a fringe all-star, right? Maybe he's an all-star, maybe he's not. And now you have most of the you know, mainstream media calling him a superstar. So I don't think we've ever seen a player make that giant of a leap in one single postseason run. Like, what we're witnessing is historic right now. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it does have a sense similar to the Heat, what they did last season in the bubble a little bit, but I like this Atlanta team better because they're young and they got a lot ahead of them. I mean, of course, yes, you got Butler, but he was like 29. Now he's 30, 31. So things a little bit, it's a whole different dynamic. Now with this Hawks team, AC, do you see this team, you know, become like a Warriors team that will last for 5-6 years and there'll be, you know, contenders?
Yeah, 100%. There's not a doubt in my mind that we're going to make that leap. Like I said, when you have Trae Young at the helm and you have all these great young pieces, and once we get our other star players healthy, like DeAndre Hunter, who's arguably our second best player and our best perimeter defender, he was out the entire Sixers series and we still won. Like, we're missing some key guys. Along with that, we have a lot of assets and a general manager that's just brilliant. He actually came from the Warriors team that built that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson Warriors team. He was the assistant general manager. We poached him. He's now building kind of that same model and formula down here in Atlanta. So, and as you can see, you know, you see some similarities. You have a dynamic point guard, really great outside shooting. And, you know, we have a very young team. Like you said, our best players right now are all 23, 24 or younger. So, I think these Hawks are really going to put the city of Atlanta on the map here and for the rest of the league. I think the league is slowly starting to realize how good this Hawks team is. And I think for the next decade and for as long as Trae Young stays in Atlanta, I think this team has big aspirations. And I could see, you know, a birth of a dynasty coming soon, especially if we win this year. Then I think it's going to be a Lakers-esque run, a Chicago Bulls-esque run, Warriors-type run here in Atlanta. So get ready. The show is just starting, Santiago, and you know, there's plenty of seasons of what you're seeing now. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I know. The excitement, the energy, and what I see was telling me, you know, getting that DNA from the Warriors, and maybe that DNA came from the Bulls as well. You just see it coming into Atlanta. And Atlanta's not known as a basketball city, you know? It's you always hear teams from like the Falcons and even like the soccer team, Atlanta FC, and you can say the Bulldogs, even though they don't play in Atlanta, they play in Athens, but you know, it kind of spills over to Atlanta as well. So are we going to see a championship from the NBA? I mean, with the Hawks and like, you know, beating out like the other sports?
Yeah. I mean, as you know, winning cures all, right. And, you know, now that we've been going on this crazy playoff run, I've been a Hawks fan for, you know, almost two decades now, and I'm out wearing my Hawks jerseys out and about these past couple of weeks, and I just hear people saying, go Hawks. You know, people are coming up to me talking about the Hawks and this and that, which in, you know, years past, even when we had that great 60-win team from 2015, you know, when the Hawks got the number one seed, we had 60 wins in the regular season, we make it all the way to the conference finals, and then we get swept by LeBron James and that Cavs team. Even that year when we were arguably one of the top, you know, three, four teams in the league all season, the buzz and the excitement just wasn't the same with what you see now in Atlanta. Like, every single restaurant, every single bar around the metro Atlanta area is playing the game. People are roaming the streets. We have watch parties all over the city when we're not playing a home game. I mean, you know, this town is slowly shifting to become an NBA town, especially if we win. And yeah, like you said, we've been known as a Braves and Atlanta Falcons.
I forget the
town,
Braves.
just because, they've been better than the Hawks over the last decade or so. So if we win the title this year, expect to see a lot more bandwagon Hawks fans, not only locally here in Atlanta, but, you know, fans just from all over the world and the U.S. just becoming Hawks fans out of nowhere. And we have the reason why the excitement has just been so crazy is in years past when we've had those great teams with Joe Johnson, Dikembe Mutombo, you know, Al Horford, Paul Millsap. They were good players, all-star level players, but we didn't have a superstar ever. The Hawks have never had a superstar since Dominique in the 80s. And now that we finally have that it guy, that go-to, you know, mama mentality superstar at the end of the day, fourth quarter, who are you going to put the ball in the hands? And we have that player in Trae Young. And that's a type of player that the city can get behind just because we've been missing it for so long. And I think that's why we're starting to see so many more Hawks fans, Trae Young fans. Just, it's great. It's been great.
Oh, man, the excitement's there. I feel for Macy. I'm glad you're on the show because now I could translate. It's like, is it me or am I really excited? No, everyone's excited in Atlanta. Even though the Bucks series is still going on, which of these two teams will become a rival for Atlanta? Will it be the Knicks or the Sixers?
Oh, man. Just that storyline that we had in round one against the Knicks and the whole Madison Square Garden, Trey shushing them. Him getting spit on. I mean, it's a good storyline. You know, that's where kind of his villain persona was really created, right, in that round one against the Knicks. And as we know, the mainstream media, they love the Knicks. New York's a big market, so it would make for a good, fun rivalry over the next, 8 to 10 years. I just don't think the Knicks are that good, and they don't. There's nothing to really be too excited about if you're a Knicks fan. I'm sorry, guys, but they're. Best player, Julius Randle, who's already 27, I think. He's clearly not the number one guy. You're going to need to pull in an actual, true superstar and surround him with surrounding pieces. And they just don't.
AC, you there? I think we lost AC. Might be a reception issue. AC was talking about, I asked him about if it was going to be the Knicks or the Sixers be a rivalry. And he says it's most likely, it could be the Knicks, but the Knicks are, they're not all there yet. Even though they seem like they were there, but according to AC, they're not. Yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, you were saying that the Knicks, they're just not all there. You don't think all the pieces are there.
Yeah, the pieces aren't there. They're just not on the same level as our Hawks. I mean, it honestly should have been a sweep. If the Knicks can get some other good players, then that would be exciting. You know, two good teams going at it year over year, but I just don't see it. The 76ers rivalry versus the Hawks, I think, can be a good one. I'd rather see the Sixers versus the Hawks rivalry just because, yeah, they're a better team than the Knicks, and it would make for a lot more competitive, fun rivalry. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, it's either way, it's both pretty exciting. Atlanta, New York, that was an exciting series. I never had that momentum since like the late 90s when Knicks were having issues with the Bulls and the Heat. So I could definitely hopefully see it again next season, but we'll see how things pan out for both clubs. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, that's the main thing. I think I got a lot off my chest there. I think finally the Hawks are getting the respect that we deserve, and Trae Young and the rest of the young Hawks are finally being put on notice, right? I think this is just the birth of an early dynasty that we're witnessing, and I can't wait to see what we have in store for the future.
And the future continues tonight. Game 2, AC, Atlanta at Milwaukee. What's going to happen?
We're blowing them out, Santiago. We are blowing them out, running them out of their own home court. All the pressure's on Milwaukee right now. They're down 0-1. They know that they have to tie the series up before going back to Atlanta. This goes back to my original point. I think they're soft mentally. I think Giannis is soft. They don't have that alpha male on the books. So I think Trae Young and the Hawks are going to make the necessary adjustments, and we're going to blow them out. I'm predicting the Hawks at least win by 9 or 10 points tonight.
Interesting. Going 2-0 to Atlanta feels pretty good. Phoenix at the Clippers, game 4. What's going to happen there?
Oh, I think game 4, I think the Suns take it. I think they go up 3-1. And, you know, hopefully they can come back to Phoenix and close it out. But I'm taking the Suns in game 4 tomorrow night.
You think Chris Paul slowed them down for game 3?
Yeah, you know what? That's an interesting question. Obviously, it looks like the chemistry was a little off given his absence these past few games. But Chris Paul is such a great player. I can't wrap my head around the fact that throwing a player as good as Chris Paul is going to somehow make a team worse. I think they're going to find their groove back in game 4, which is why I say they're going to win. It just took that one game just to kind of get Chris Paul back in the swing of things. But yeah, it looked a little choppy at times, but I think they have a big bounce back game and take game 4 tomorrow.
And Kawhi, and like the Clippers are hanging on without Kawhi, so it's quite interesting how the whole dynamic and Paul George stepping up to the plate. But you know something, this playoffs has been very exciting. Now that's wide open with no LeBron James or, you know, Steph Curry. So things are a little bit interesting. Hopefully, you know, hey, maybe Trae Young will be the ratings guy for the NBA moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I mean, we've seen these ratings. You know, people were saying, oh, all these big market teams are out in the conference finals. But, you know, we've seen that the Bucks and Hawks series at least have pulled in massive ratings just in game 1. I looked at the stats. It was an average of 5.3 million viewers. It was the number one watched program on Monday night. So that sounds pretty good to me, Santiago. I don't know. And I think because a lot of the demographic for NBA now is geared towards that younger generation, a lot of middle school, high school, college kids are watching the NBA more so than ever. And when you have players like a Trae Young, Devin Booker, and all these exciting young players, they're going to lean towards more of them, right? Like my generation, we grew up on like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, those types of players, Kevin Durant, and now we have this new era of, you know, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Devin Booker, all these guys now that are grooming the next generation. And, you know, this is the face of the NBA, like you're witnessing now. I think if the Hawks and Suns play in the finals, that would make for an all-time, like, that would just be a great, great series. You have two of the best young players in the NBA going at it toe-to-toe, and I can guarantee you those ratings are going to be box office. Like, people want to see Devin Booker and Trae Young in the finals.
That would be something unpredictable. Maybe not even Adam Silver would have thought of that. Jason that Kidd works. To the Mavericks, what do you think about that?
It's a funny hire. I mean, I wouldn't have agreed with that hire personally, just because, I mean, we saw what he did when he was the head coach with the Bucks and how he just couldn't do anything with the Bucks. I'm pretty sure he was the Nets coach maybe
for a season.
He got fired.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, everywhere he's gone, it's basically been a failure. Like, you know, and not every great player translates into a great coach. And I think Jason Kidd it might be one of those, you know, players that just don't end up being a good coach. But who knows? He has ties with the Mavericks, obviously won a ring with them. So maybe that plays differently in his mind, and he can maybe somehow coach this team up differently than what he's done in his previous two teams. But yeah, it's interesting. That whole Mavericks front office with the firing of the GM and then Rick Carlisle leaving, it's all just one big cluster. And I think you can kind of lean towards, you know, look at Luka for what's going on right now. But hey, that's a discussion for another day.
For another podcast. But there's definitely one good player that has transitioned well to a coach, and that's Nate McMillan.
Oh, absolutely. Nate Dogg, as we like to call him here in Atlanta. You know, I said this on my video I posted this morning. Once the season's over, once we've won the NBA Finals, he needs to step in the you know, owner's office in this offseason, just bring a blank check with him and just write whatever he wants, because he deserves it. You know, I'm happy for him. A lot of Hawks fans and national pundits were saying that, oh, you know, he's been a failure as a head coach in the postseason. He's always been a first-round exit, this and that. And now here we are, just 3 wins away from an NBA Finals. You know, this, I would be happy for the Hawks winning, but I would be equally as happy for Nate McMillan. The job that he's done coming in, midway into the season, had to take over a team that he wasn't expecting to take over. And then now we have, on the verge of an NBA Finals appearance. So he's done a magnificent job. I hope we lock him down for, the foreseeable future. And clearly the players love him. Trae Young is a big fan of Nate. And I hope he signs a long-term contract with us and good things will happen.
I'm sure he will with all the stuff he has done so far. AC, what is the best way to reach you online and also get access to your videos?
Yeah, so you can follow us at HawksFanTV on both Twitter and Instagram. Same with our YouTube channel, HawksFanTV. We post weekly videos every single week with pregame and postgame analysis, all the news, rumors, and debates that your hearts desire for all things Atlanta Hawks. And we also do live streams, every game as well, and take live caller reactions. So follow us on Twitter. We're most active on that at HawksFanTV. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. And go Hawks, Hawks in five.
Absolutely. And you can reach us at the Sportscast, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter, thesportscast1. We'll be definitely following what's going on in the NBA playoffs. And, of course, this weekend with the Euros. So looking forward to it. But anyways, AC, you've been awesome, man. I love your energy. I can feel it from Atlanta to Milwaukee all the way to here in Florida. Really excited for you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a blast, and hopefully I can join a couple more shows in the future.
Absolutely. Let's go Hawks.
Let's go Hawks, baby. Have a good one.